affecting her. And we've had some folks back over the last 3 or 4 months have asked me to sing some songs. And so I told them if she ever showed up, I would. And so she's here, and I asked her if she could. She said it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But when you can't sing, it don't matter how long. I just asked her to come anyway. Amen.
Bless them, Lord. Bless
them. Of course, we'll do 2 or 3 songs tonight if the Lord will.
Bless them, Lord.
Help her to play it, help me to remember it.
Bless your Lord.
Thank you.
bless his own money. This morning, they'll be unequally yoked together. And he was a Christian, she was a Christian. And so that meant the Lord was there in the middle.
Amen.
And, you know, he's the glue that can hold it all together.
That's right.
That's right.
He's
the blessing,
man. All right, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians tonight, chapter 8, and Luke chapter 5 tonight, I'll try to bring a message tonight. And we've dug around this old Bible and tried to dig out another message tonight.
Bless him.
And we appreciate God's word. Amen. And I'm going to have Brother Greg change the church sign here this week. And I think I'm going to have him put on there an old book for a new year.
That's right.
Yeah. An old book for a new year. We might have a new year, but we don't need a new book.
That's right.
This old one will do just fine.
Yep.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
You're saved, you know that.
That's right. Yes.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
Thank you, Lord.
That ye through his poverty might be rich. Thank you, Father. We come to you, Lord, this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of almost completing another year, Lord. Being able to serve you and have church, and we thank you for your blessings upon the congregation this year, and thank you for adding, the Lord, being a lot more added than what's been taken away or what's went away,
And Lord, as we come tonight now, Lord, for this time, people have come out, they've got ready, they've got up from where they were at, and they headed this way. And Lord, I pray you bless them for that, give them something tonight out of the Word of God. And we thank you for every soul that's been saved, Lord, this year. And we pray tonight, Lord, that even somebody, if there's one here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know they're saved, that they might come to that full assurance, Lord, that they know that they have been saved. And they know, Lord, when the time comes, that they'll be ready to go. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and failures and shortcomings. And I pray you to put the words in my heart, Lord, tonight needs to be said. I pray, Lord, tonight, as you preach through us tonight, Lord, I pray you'd say some good things. The Bible said that, Lord, you spoke about apples of gold, pitchers of silver. You spoke about good word from the Lord. And I pray tonight, God, that we might have a good word from the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And again, I ask your blessings tonight on all that's here tonight. I pray they'll leave and say, boy, I'm sure glad I came to church tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we'll be careful to ask all these favors in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You can be seated tonight. And I read over there about verse 9, where it said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may be rich. Now the Word of God tells us here that Jesus was rich, but that he became poor. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to understand tonight, he didn't become poor because he made a bad investment. Some people become poor because if they make a bad investment. They put all their money in something, and then that something turns out to be no good, and they become poor. I want you to know that he didn't become poor tonight because that he's been conned out of all of his riches. I want you to know that that somebody like Madoff didn't make off with all his riches. It had nothing to do with that. He wasn't conned out of his money. And he didn't become poor because the stock market crashed. That wasn't why he became poor. But the Bible tells us there in that verse that he became poor that you and I might be rich.
That's right.
Now, that's quite a statement, that the Lord became poor that you and I might be rich tonight. And we are rich tonight. As Christians tonight, we're rich in his mercy, his love, his grace. We're rich in all that God gives us tonight. Those things are better than money.
Yeah.
And oftentimes somebody will give me a monetary gift and I'll send a card back and I'll say, I pray that God blesses you with something better than money. You know, there is monetary things and there's other things that are, Brother Eddie, are a greater blessing than any amount of money that you could think about tonight. Now, I don't know because I've never been rich. But I would suppose it would be harder to be poor if you had been rich than it would be to be rich if you had been poor. I would suppose that it would be harder to make that transition. If you had all kinds of everything and plenty of money and all at once you had nothing, that would be pretty hard. But if you never had nothing and then to get a lot of money, I would think that'd be pretty easy. I don't know, but I would think it would be that way. Amen?
Amen.
But I don't guess, and I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know everybody's bank account or what they've got, but I don't think there's a whole lot of rich people here tonight. Not in a worldly sense. But I think tonight that most of us, while we may not know what it is to be just flat broke, at least tonight, and maybe some of us that have been flat broke. I think I can honestly say tonight that in my 62 years of living, I've never been flat broke. I've been down to a few dollars. I've been down sometimes to some change, but I've never been flat broke. But tonight, as we look at this tonight, if you have ever been that way, most of you, even though you may not have never been flat broke, you probably have maybe lived at a time when you had less than you do now. Most of you. You may have lived in a time where it wasn't as easy for you as it is tonight.
Bless you, Lord.
I mean, there was a time when if you wanted to go to Cracker Barrel, you had to save up for that. You couldn't just opt up and go tonight. You couldn't just go after church today and go anywhere you wanted to eat because you didn't have the money. There has been a time in your life and a time in my life when that we didn't have what we have tonight. We may not have been considered what you would call just poor, but we was a little below middle class. So if you was ever that way, and I have a feeling tonight most of the people in this room have been that way one time or another, when you don't have a lot of money, when you're poor, you have to borrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Amen. Amen. When you're poor, you have to borrow. I hate to borrow. And if you've ever done much of it, you probably hate to borrow.
Yes, sir.
But I know when we first got married, we had to borrow some things. We had to borrow some money. Amen.
Amen.
And when you first get married and you don't have any collateral, Mike won't know if I had any collateral. I didn't know what that was. I didn't have any collateral, and so most of the time the upper class lending institutions, they wouldn't lend it to a couple who just got married, and so you'd have to go get it wherever you could get it at the finance company or wherever you could. You'd have to go down there and get it, and you had to do some borrowing. I remember when we first got married, we lived over here in town, been married a little while, and we were always borrowing ice from the neighbor. And that always just, you know, I always hated to go over there and ask, can we borrow some ice? Because water, you know, don't cost that much. And we did have a refrigerator. I don't know why I was always out of ice, but it seemed like I was always going over to the neighbor's house with a little bucket and asking if I could borrow some ice. And that was embarrassing, to have to borrow ice. You know, if I'd been asked to borrow $100 or borrowing a car or something like that, that might have been one thing, but to borrow ice. We lived in another place, and we had a neighbor, and she was always coming over there wanting to borrow something. And you know, I don't know why that they say borrow, because we weren't going to bring the ice back. I don't know why we say borrow, because I know that neighbor across the road, whenever I give her what she wanted, I knew she wasn't going to be paying it back. And she'd come borrow, I'm not kidding, she'd come and borrow 4 spoons full of sugar or 5 tea bags or, you know, something like that. She was forevermore always borrowing something. But what I'm trying to establish here is that when you don't have a lot of money, you have to borrow sometimes. Now, here's my sermon tonight. Jesus, the Bible said he became poor. It said that he became poor, that he laid it all aside. He gave up claim to all that was his in heaven, and he come down here. And if you know the life and the story of Jesus, you know that he didn't have a penny to his name. Somebody asked him one time, said, who do we pay tribute to? And he said, show me a penny. He didn't have one. He said, show me a penny. We know that though he had been up there, where the Bible says that we all have a mansion up there someday when this life's over, the Bible says there's streets of gold and gates and walls of gold. The whole city's gold. The Bible said that that each gate is one solid pearl. And so he lived up there. But we know he came down here. He laid it all aside. He came down here and they told him, he said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I have no place to lay my head tonight. He was homeless.
Amen.
Jesus was penniless and he was homeless. Amen.
Amen.
When they come to him and they needed some food, he borrowed a boy's lunch. He didn't have any thing, and he borrowed a young boy's few fishes and loaves. And so I want to talk tonight about, I want to preach tonight about how that Jesus was a borrower. And I want us to look in Luke chapter 5, and I want us to look here at this story tonight, and we're going to see where that Jesus borrowed a boat. It says over in Luke 5, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God,
amen,
he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Brother Eddie, can you imagine, Brother Nathan, what that'd be like for people pressing upon you to hear the word of God?
Praise the Lord, brother.
I mean, they were just pressing together, trying to get to him. trying to get close to him as they could and to hear the word of God. Woo! I can't imagine what that'd be like. Most places I go, they sit all the way to the back.
Amen.
I preached in Alabama, and that church had probably would seat 500 people, and they had probably 140 people, and I'd say 90 of them sat all the way to the back of that church, and it was a long ways to back there to that church. I got to preaching one night, and I thought, bless God, I'll just walk back there to them. I got about halfway back there and got wore out and come back. I said, well, sit back there and sit back there. And I know why kids sit back there, because they sit back there so they can do texting. That's why they sit in the back. But they said they pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. So I said, well, if you preach like Jesus, we'd sit up there too. I know the Bible said never a man spake like he spake. I understand that tonight. But just imagine that people pressing upon you to hear the word of God. And he said he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thus out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Yes. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Now there in those 11 verses, we have the account of Jesus coming and borrowing a boat. The Bible said there were two boats there, but he only borrowed one of the boats. Now I want to say three things tonight about when Jesus borrowed that boat. And it's three things that will be true every time Jesus borrows anything from anybody. First of all, I want to say that when he borrowed that boat, he became the captain of that boat. You say, what do you mean? Well, the boat belongs to Simon. We read on down there in verse 10 that they were partners. They were partners, but evidently James and John had a boat and Peter had a boat. And they partnered together in this fishing industry to try to make a living. But Jesus came and he borrowed this boat from Simon. Now, this boat belongs to Simon. But watch what happens when Jesus gets on board. Look in verse 3, he said, he got in the boat and he said, thrust out a little from the land. Who's giving orders here? Amen. Watch this, he gets a little bit farther down and he says, launch out into the deep. Mm-hmm. Who's giving orders here? Mm-hmm. Watch this, he says, and Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night, but nevertheless, at thy word, the boat belongs to Simon, but Jesus, when he borrows that boat, Jesus has become the captain of that boat. Can I tell you that the Bible speaks about our physical bodies as being vessels?
Right.
The Bible talks about how that we're vessels of the Lord. God has put his treasure in an earthen vessel.
Right.
The Bible said over the book of Timothy, there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor, the Bible says.
Amen.
But when Jesus comes, he wants to borrow your vessel and he wants to borrow my vessel. But when we let him borrow our vessel, he wants to become the captain of that vessel.
Amen.
He wants to be the one that is given the orders. Now we see here that this was able to be because in verse 3 he prayed. Now he just didn't come on board and take over and in an ill way, in an unmannerly way, just come over and take this man's boat away. No, he got on the boat and he asked if he could borrow the boat.
Right.
Can I tell you the Holy Ghost is always a gentleman?
Yes. Amen.
Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is always a gentleman? Can I tell you that God the Father is always a gentleman? I spoke about that boy's lunch. I don't believe Jesus went down there and grabbed it out of his hands and said, we need this, we're taking this. I believe he went down there and said, son, we'd like to use that if you'd let us. And I believe tonight that God wants to use every one of us. God wants to borrow every one of us if we'll let him.
Amen.
You see, he said here, he said he prayed him. He prayed him. There's Jesus praying to Simon instead of Simon praying to Jesus. He's saying, Simon, can I borrow this boat for a little while? Now that could have never took place unless that Simon was willing to obey the orders from the captain that had got on the boat.
Amen.
You know why we don't catch fish? We're not willing to obey the orders when the captain gets on board.
That's right, Brother Rick.
You know why that we toil all day and all night, a lot of times take nothing? Because we're not willing to take orders from the captain when he gets on board.
Amen.
But he gets on there and Simon obeys. He fussed out just a little bit from the land. And then notice this. Not only was he willing to let him take over, not only was he willing to take the orders from him, but when you let Jesus borrow your vessel, when you let Jesus borrow your vessel, and you let him have his way with your vessels, it will always be that there'll be others to get blessed.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know what you see here in this story? Not only was Peter that let him borrow the vessel, Simon let him borrow the vessel, not only was he blessed, but others were blessed. And I'll tell you, we give our lives to the Lord, and we let the Lord borrow these old vessels tonight. And let God speak to them, give to them, love to them. Do all the things that God wants to do for them. Other people will get a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says you're a vessel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Rodney's here tonight. His pastor told me this. He said he had a fishing boat. And he said, the name of my fishing boat, he said, I named that fishing boat Visitation. I said, Visitation? He said, yes. And every time a church member calls my house, and they say, is Brother Ray around? They'll say, no, he's out on visitation.
Yeah.
That sound like your pastor, Brother Roddy? Amen. What I'm saying tonight, point number one, if you'll let Jesus borrow that boat, and you'll yield to him, he will become the captain of that boat. He will direct where you go. He will direct what you do. He will bless your life. And he will bless other people's lives. Amen. If you'll just let Jesus borrow your vessel for a little while.
Amen.
You say, why did he borrow that boat? Why did he walk on water? He could have.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, get out of the way, Simon. Move them boats and walked out there on the water and stood out there and preached a sermon.
That's right.
He done it in Matthew 14. He walked on the water. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, why didn't he do that? Well, he wanted to be a partner with Simon. He wanted Simon to be a partner with him. There's several in here tonight. Brother Eddie here tonight. He's here tonight. Brother Paul, Brother Bill back there, Brother Steve, myself. There's several of us that worked for a long time for R.R. Donnelly and Sons. And there for a while, when we got in with them and we become a part of that company and we got vested to that company and we was working for that company, we was one of them sons. We may not have never realized it, but we was one of them sons. I'll tell you, we got some benefits. We didn't get as much as the owner got, but we got some benefits from it. I want to say tonight, when you got saved, if you let Jesus Christ come into your life, take over your life, take over your home, take over your family, take over whatever it is you're doing, God will bless others through you, and God will work with you, and you can be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So he became the captain of the boat.
That's right.
Now let me say this, number two. When Jesus borrowed the boat, he blessed the people on the boat.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
So where's that at? Verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we toiled all night, taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Can't you just, Simon did like us. I mean, he is a commercial fisherman. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, expert. Yeah.
That's what he does for a living. He's an expert. He knows where the fish are. He knows how to catch them. He knows how to take them up. There's people like that.
Yeah.
And Brother Eddie, Can't you just think, even though he didn't say it, don't you just know that he's thinking it when Jesus says, cast all out into the deep, let down your net for a draw. Don't you know Simon saying, all right, nevertheless, it's your word, we'll do it, but it ain't going to do any good.
Amen, brother, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever done what God told you to do, but in the back of your mind you're thinking, I'll do it, but it ain't going to do any good.
Amen, brother.
But sometimes it does do good.
Yes.
Sometimes when the Lord gives his word, it goes just like his word says it'll go. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
So I see old Simon out there, and he's fished all night, and you know, sometimes we think we know more than the Lord does.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And the longer we serve the Lord, the more we think we know more than the Lord does.
Yeah.
We don't know more than the Lord does.
That's right.
I'm sure Joshua thought he knew more than the Lord about commanding an army and all of that. I'm sure he thought he knew more than the Lord when the Lord said, march around this city here and blow a trumpet and the walls will come down. I'm sure Gideon probably thought he knew more about the Lord than when he said, get some lanterns and go up there and blow a horn, break some lanterns, and you'll win a battle. But you see, God always knows more than we know.
Yeah. Amen.
So I see here that Jesus wants to borrow this boat. Now let me say this tonight, Jesus is not a bum. He's not a beggar. And he's not a deadbeat. There's plenty of them around.
Yeah.
But Jesus is not one of them. No, sir. He just wants you to lend him something you have, whatever it might be he'd ask you for. He wants you to lend that to him. And can I tell you that I've lent some stuff to people I never got back and I never will get back. Sometimes when you lend to folks, you know in your heart you're not going to get it back, so you just lend it just to give and do good and do what's right because you ain't even expecting to get it back. Amen. I'm sure that everybody in this room has loaned somebody some money, has let somebody borrow some money, and never did get it back. Brother Tuggle had a little black book about that big he kept right beside his recliner all the time. And in that book, he said, I never asked to see it. I never wanted to see it. But he said there was $30,000 that he had loaned to preachers over 58 years of ministry that they never paid back. $30,000. Preachers. He told me about a situation. He sold a gun to a preacher. And the preacher said, I'll send you a check when I get home. He never got the check. He said he called the preacher. He said, I'll send it. He never sent it. Now how in the world did anybody could get up and preach when they deliberately beat somebody out of that kind of money? I have no idea. I have no idea. But folks, let me just say right here that part of the reason why that we can't see a move of God in our churches is the way people live in the pews and the way people live behind the pulpit. That's why that we can't get God's blessings on us. We look good when we come in, but we don't live right when we go out.
Amen. Good preaching.
Barred. But here's my point. When you lend to Jesus, you get it back.
Oh, yeah.
How many has ever lent something to the Lord? And you lent it to the Lord, or you lent it to somebody, maybe you lent it to somebody, and they did pay it back. And when they brought it back, they said, here's that $100 I borrowed from you, and I'm giving you 10 extra just for letting me borrow it. You ever had that happen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I've had that happen. I've let people borrow stuff. And they brought it back. They said, I'm just so thankful you let me borrow it. And here's the money. And I want you to have this just because you're good. And let me have it. I want to tell you this, that Jesus always, when he pays back, he always pays with interest.
Amen.
Amen.
He'll always give you more than what you loaned him.
Amen.
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 Amen. You know what the Bible said in Psalms 37:21? It said, the wicked borroweth and payeth not. If you borrow and you don't pay back, you're a wicked man.
Yes,
man. You're a wicked woman. You say, I don't have it to pay. Well, if it's any character about a person, they'd go to that individual and they'd tell them, they'd say, I don't have the money to pay. I'd like to work something out. I'd like to do some work. I want to do something, but I don't want to just beat you out of it. I want to pay you back somehow or another. But if you borrow something from somebody and you don't pay it back and you don't go talk to them and you don't do nothing about it, the Bible says you're a wicked man.
Amen.
How's that preaching tonight? What the Bible says, ain't it? You can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, all you want to, you're still a wicked man.
There you go.
Right.
You can pray all you want to, you're still a wicked man.
Yeah.
You can pass out all the tracts you want to, you're still a wicked man.
There you go.
If you borrow and don't pay back, now that's one thing of borrowing and not being able to pay back. You say, why's the Lord got you on this? I don't know. You'll have to ask them. It's not in the sermon notes. Listen, if you borrow and you want to pay back, but you don't have the means to pay back, but you go talk to that person, you call that person, you do what you can. Most of the time, if there's anything at all to them, they'll try to work something out with you. And they'll think a lot more about of you than they do if you beat them out of it. He said, the wicked borroweth and payeth not. Listen, Proverbs 17:17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. My, my. The Bible says if you have pity upon a poor person, if you have pity upon the poor, it says that's like lending to the Lord. That's pretty good loan.
Amen.
If you go to borrow money, you go in there, and I know what collateral is now. And you're going to go in there and they're going to say, have you got any collateral? You want to borrow $10,000? Have you got any collateral? Say, well, I've got a truck out there. It's got 238,000 miles on it. They say, okay, there's $1,000. You got anything else? I say, well, I got a home. I've got this. I've got that. And once I come up with enough money that I have to back what I'm borrowing, they'll let me have what I'm asking for. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? I believe the Lord's pretty good alone.
Amen.
You say, why? Because when he left heaven, he laid all that aside. He let all of his tithes to that go for a little while, but he's going to get it all back.
Right.
Before he come down here, all the gold was his. All the silver was his. He made everything and owned everything. I'd say he's got enough collateral to cover the loans.
Amen.
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 Amen. You say, when you lend to the Lord, you ever lent somebody and then laid and rolled all night and thought, boy, wish they hadn't let them have that. I know I won't never get that back. Oh, you lend to the Lord, you can just lay down and go to sleep.
Amen, brother.
Because he'll bring you back. You know what I've noticed about the Lord? He knows just when to bring it back.
Bless you, Brother Rick. Amen. Yeah.
You ever notice that?
That's the bread on the water.
There's been times I thought, Lord, I needed that money now. But I didn't need it now. But when the Lord brought it and said, here's a little interest on what I borrowed, what you let me borrow, here's a little interest. It's just the time I needed it.
Amen, Brother Rick.
To pay that bill, to get something fixed, to repair something.
Yeah.
When you lend to the Lord, he will pay it back. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you to know that after there had been no blessing all night long, they fished all night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter had already met the Lord before this. We don't know how intently he was. Obviously, he hadn't yet forsaken all and followed him. He does that in this text. But he'd already met the Lord. He's fished all night and hadn't took nothing. How many here are fishes some?
Oh, yeah.
Bob, I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, I know you do. Hey, let me ask you fellas something.
You ever prayed about fishing?
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Man.
Have you ever been out there all day? There wasn't nobody looking, you see.
Lord, I wish you had these things to buy.
Anybody ever done that? I
haven't.
Matter of fact, I've done that this year. Lori Reese, you got that little old boy Blake. One Sunday morning, Blake come out by me, and he said, he stopped and he said, "Brother Rick, will you take me fishing?" Lori said, he wants you to take him fishing, so he don't have no daddy, he don't have nobody to take him. I said, "Yeah, I'll take you, Blake." And I had every intention of taking him. A few months went by, but one day it dawned on me, it's, Lord said, "You need to take that boy fishing."
Bless him, Lord.
And I called her, Lori, she answered the phone. I said, "Lori, is Blake there?" She said, "No, he's going to school, but he'll be here in about 30 minutes. And I said, "Can he go fishing today?" She said, "Yeah." Said, "He can go, he'll be tickled to death." And I'd already talked to Bill about it previously. He hooked me up with an Amish guy that had a big catfish pond out there. And he done said I could fish out there. And I said, "Bill," I said, "you think it'd be all right if I take Blake out there?" And he said, "Yeah, it'd probably be all right." Well, you know, it always helps to bribe a little bit. And every time I've been out there to fish, three times, every time I've been out there to fish, the second time I went out there with Blake, I went by and I bought 2 dozen donuts. At the bakery donut up here, all different kinds of donuts. And I put them in my truck. We started out there just in case. We got out there, and here was the owner of the farm and the pond, and he's there beside of the road, and he's topping his tobacco. And I pulled up there. My fishing poles were hanging out the back, waving in the wind. And I stopped the truck, and he says, "How you doing there?" He said, "You going fishing?" I said, "I don't know. That depends on what you say." And I said, "I got you some donuts if you want them." And he said, "Well, just take them on over there and go on in the house and put them in the house. Ain't nobody there, but just take them on over there." And his kids running everywhere in that backer patch. They wasn't working. His kids running everywhere. We took them in the house over there, and we started down there to that pond. And it wasn't a minute too. I seen, I don't have many kids running to the house because they knew them donuts was over there. And me old Blake started fishing. Well, I done fished in that pond once, and it's predominantly catfish. I don't know if there's anything else in there or not, but there's a lot of catfish in there. And I had all the chicken livers and all that type of stuff that you catch catfish with. And Blake got his out, and he had some kind of milk spinner or something on there. And I said, "Blake," I said, "there's catfish in here." He said, "I don't like catfish." And he said, "I like bass." I said, "I don't know if there's any bass in here or not." And he said, "Well, I'm going to fish for bass." I said, "Okay." Well, the first time I went out there, me and Zach, we caught over our limit in less than an hour. More than our limit. And I said, "Zach, this man's good enough to let us fish." I said, "We need to go ahead and leave. We done got more fish now than what we need." And so we left. And so I was expecting that again. It wasn't that way. We fished about 35 minutes or an hour, and we didn't get a bite. And I'm sitting there, and Blake, he's gotten got bored. He's over there in the boat. He ain't even trying to fish. I thought, "Lord, he ain't going to catch no fish. He ain't even trying to fish." And so I had 2 reels, and I baited them up, and I cast both of them out there. And we done been there about an hour. And I said, "Lord, we don't have to catch a bunch of fish, but Lord, if we could just catch one fish. I brought this boy fishing, if we could just catch one fish." And so help me, my floater went under. And I caught a catfish. I'm going to say it was this big. And I got it in, and I should have let him have that one, but it just felt too big. And so I said, "Lord, if we could just catch one more, I'd let him reel it in." And I caught one more. I said, "Blake, come here." I said, "I want you to reel this one in." And he come over there, and he fought with it, and he finally got it in. Amen. You say, what you say that for? I'm saying I prayed about fishing, and God answered.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
He probably answered because of that boy.
Yeah.
He didn't ask. I wish I'd said, "Lord, could catch 40, 50 fish." Because that was the only 2 we caught, amen. But what I'm saying is, they'd fished all night, hadn't taken nothing. And Eddie, don't you reckon that old Simon, he's like the rest of us? The Bible said we're all kind of alike, really. It says we all have the same afflictions. We all go through the same things, what Nathan says. And me and him went the other day on a trip. We were talking about our wives. And I was telling him something about my wife. He said, my wife does the same thing. You say, what was it? That's man talk. You women get together and talk about us. We talk about y'all, amen. But I'm just saying, we all have the same feelings. We all have the same things. And here is old Simon fished all night. I just got a feeling he may have said, Lord, I sure wish we could catch something.
Yes, amen.
But here's my point. When Jesus got on that boat, he probably didn't have a clue that was an answer to his prayer. If he prayed. Did you know sometimes when we pray, God tries to send the answer on the boat and we won't take it?
You're right, brother.
Because it's not the answer we're looking for.
That's right.
Amen.
Probably reluctantly, but Peter led him on the boat. And I know this, I don't know if he'd been praying to catch fish or not, but I know he did catch fish. Now, I'm talking about when Jesus bars a boat, he always blesses. Whatever you let him bar, he blesses. You say, how does he bless? Well, he blesses abundantly.
Yes, right.
Look what happened. It said in verse 6 and 7, he said, and when they had this done, and in other words, let the net down, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Now watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. I never seen this before. You see, Peter wasn't expecting to catch nothing much. You say, why? If he was, he had to throw down a bunch of nets. But he only put one out because he probably thought we ain't going to catch nothing anyway. I'll just satisfy him. Kind of like that woman, you know, that Jesus said, go borrow a vessel's not a few. And she borrowed a bunch, but if she had borrowed more, she'd have had even more than what she had.
Right.
Amen. Can I tell you that God is an abundant God?
Amen.
He has abundant forgiveness. He has abundant grace. He has an abundant salvation. God is an abundant God. Amen. God's not a cheapskate.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Tuckle had a message. He preached it. His text was, thank God I'm not a tightwad. And he wasn't either, brother. I mean, he would give heartily and gently to the Lord's work. And old Ted, right before he died, old Ted, his boy, was talking to him. And he said, Dad, he said, did you ever think how much money you'd have? Did you ever think what you'd have if you hadn't loaned all that money to them preachers? If you hadn't give all that money to the church? If you hadn't done all that, Dad, did you ever think what you would have had? And old Brother Tom said, boy, I got everything I need.
That's right.
I got everything I want.
Amen.
God blesses abundantly. Their net broke. God blesses in an astonishing way. Look at verse 9. For he was astonished. Has God ever astonished you?
Oh, yeah.
God ever done something so big and so great that you was astonished? I mean, you knew he was God. You knew he could do it. You knew he could. He had the means to do it. But you never dreamed in all your life that God would do it.
Amen.
God loves every one of you.
God
thinks as much of every one of you as he does anybody else.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And God will do for you just as much as he'll do for anybody else.
That's right. Amen.
If you do what God says, you lend to the Lord, you let him borrow what he asks to borrow, you let him be the captain, God will do for you anything he'll do for anybody else.
Amen.
Don't feel like an orphan child. Don't feel like a stepchild. That God doesn't love you like he does others. No, God loves you as much as he loves anybody.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I went to see an uncle of mine who's lost. Please pray for him. I went to see him, and right before Christmas, I wasn't expecting it to go good. But we had a wonderful visit and talked about the Lord, and he brought it up. We talked about the Lord, and he's lost, and but when I got ready to leave, he's about 86 years old. He's nearly blind. And he followed me through the door.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord.
He said, well, come back, Rick. And I stopped at the door. I started out and I stopped and I turned around. And I went back over there and gave him a hug. And I said, Uncle, I just want you to know that God loves you as much as he loves anybody.
Amen.
And God will forgive you as much as he's forgiven anybody.
Bless you, brother.
And God will save you just like he saves anybody. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, a lot of times people feel like God don't like them. Right. God don't love them. God loves you. He gave his only begotten son to die on the cross so that you and I could be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He loves you. Now let me say this. I'm done tonight. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Amen.
Now no doubt this boat is important to Simon. Mm-hmm. It's his livelihood. It'd be like me going to Brother Ronald and said, Brother Ronald, I need all your tile stuff. Because that was his livelihood. That's how he made his living. Mm-hmm. That's how he made his living. Mm-hmm. And so it meant something to him. Amen.
Right.
Be like me going to Brother Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I need your van and all of your plumbing stuff. I need it all. See, that's his livelihood. That's how he feeds that little girl back there and his wife. That's how he feeds them. That's his livelihood. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, that boat meant a lot to Simon. Mm-hmm. And when he let Jesus borrow it, I mean, that was really something when he let him borrow it. But notice this. And here's my point. After he lends it to the Lord, he sees the Lord for who he is. The boat is no longer important.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
You see it, brother.
He leaves it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He forsakes all.
Something better.
He starts following the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He sees the Lord as of more value.
Yes, sir.
What he had. Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
See, when you start getting right with the Lord, getting your heart where it needs to be with the Lord.
Amen, brother.
The money don't mean a lot. No.
That's right.
The Lord means more.
True riches.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord means more. When you really get where you need to be with the Lord, what God wants of you doesn't really
right.
mean a lot. You know why people left this morning and didn't get saved?
Bless you, Lord.
You know why they go out that door Sunday after Sunday and they don't get saved? Because that little vessel, that little vessel they live in, they think it's so important.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They don't want to give up their little vessel to nobody.
Yeah.
True, brother. Amen, Brother Rick.
But you see, once you see the Lord like Peter saw.
Yeah.
He saw the Lord. He fell down. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Wonder why he said that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I think he said it. I think he said it because of what he'd been thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, right.
Yeah. It ain't going to do no good to throw that net over there. We ain't going to catch no fish. You ever had the Lord touch your heart? Not about what you said,
but
what you thought.
Yeah.
He knows our thoughts too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. He fell down and he said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Notice this. When he let the Lord borrow that boat, he got into another business. Mm-hmm. You say, where's that at? Verse 10.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Yes, sir.
You've been a fisher of fish, but now we're going to change business. You're going to go to work for me, and we're going to fish for men.
Amen.
Amen. There's a whole sermon in that. Fishing for men is a whole lot like fishing for fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me say this. Jesus became a greater value to Simon than all he had.
Right.
He was willing to forsake it all because he had seen something of much greater value.
Yeah.
I said, how do you give up the world? How do you give up that old sinful life? How do you give up your life and your Sundays, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? How do you give up all of that? When you see Jesus for who he is.
Hey.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, brother.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Yeah.
Look full into his face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
I'm telling you, whenever the Lord wants to borrow something you've got, you let him have it.
Amen.
If he wants your Wednesday night, if he wants your Sunday morning, if he wants Sunday school time, if he wants Saturday night time, if he wants soul winning time, if he wants Bible reading time, if he wants 10% of your income, if he wants more than 10% of your income, whatever he wants, you lend it to him.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
You say why? He'll pay back with interest.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Your mess. Break. I skipped over it, but you know what? God bless him so much. He had to call other people in.
Yeah.
You say, what did he call them in for? To share the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't it good, God?
Amen.
Blesses you enough. You got a little bit to share. You can help somebody. You ain't worried about getting paid back. You just help them because God's blessed you. And you got a little extra. You can help somebody else.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants, you lend to him. He'll pay you back. Lord, I thank you tonight for this message, Lord, that you give me tonight out of the Word of God.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Lord, I pray that it spoke to other people's hearts the way it spoke to my heart. And I hope that, Lord, the Spirit of God, it touched me tonight as I preached. I hope it touched others as they listened. We thank you, Lord, for one day coming and asking to borrow our vessels. We thank God that through the grace of God that we said, Lord, come on in. Come on in, Lord, be the captain of my vessel. Lead me where I go. Take me, Lord, where I need to go. Help me, Lord, in what I'm doing. Bless my efforts, Lord, as I try to do for God. And Lord, I pray tonight, as far as I know, everybody here tonight is saved, as far as I know. But there might be somebody here tonight, Jesus is walking around in this place through the Holy Spirit. And there might be somebody here tonight that Jesus will stop and say, let me borrow that vessel for the next 15 years or 20 years or 30 years. Let me borrow that vessel. I pray to Lord that they would let you have it, Lord, because you'll do a lot more with it than they ever dreamed about doing it. Thank you, Lord. Please continue to captain my ship. I can't speak for others, but Lord, I pray to be the captain of my ship. And I sure thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand tonight. Bless his name. Bless his name. Thank the Lord. He said, let's launch out of just a little bit. And he said, launch out into the deep.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir. Let me add more.
See, we started preaching
land tonight. And one day, Lord said, leave that. Lord, so faith in all this. Let's launch out of the deep. I want you to work for me all the time. God bless you for what he's saying to you tonight. God bless you tonight if you come.
Thank you.
Lord, you think of what happened here. Blessed that is.
Took your life and you give it to the Lord.
Thank you.
Some time ago, let me ask you one question.
Well, you love me.
Do
our best to praise you, God. Always bless and pray, Lord, his figure. Bless your children.
The Lord makes you a better home than what you had before. Lord makes you a better husband, better wife than what you had before. Lord makes you a better citizen, a better church member. See, the Lord always does better than what we do. That's why we need to give it to the Lord. Amen.
Amen, Brother Rich.
Amen. One more verse.
Service year 2015. I'd just like to praise the Lord. I'd like to thank him for saving an old sinner named Eddie Wade. I'm about as amazed as anybody. And I'm so glad he's able to save to the uttermost.
Amen, brother.
Still remember that day just like it was today. Knelt down just wondering if God could forgive someone like me. And I remember boy trembling at the thought, what if he don't? And what if the answer is no? And I'm glad it didn't take him long. And it didn't take him long at all. Man, I wish he could do it more than once, I'd do it again. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I just want to thank him for making a house call, 9000 Evans Road, April 27th, 1988, old drunk named Eddie Wade. And I remembered I wanted to come to church and tell him I got saved and open up the door. And before I could get a word out, Brother Rick said, you got saved, didn't you? I said, yeah. I must have lit up pretty good. I don't know, but I was trying to get in and tell him. He told me before I could get it out. But Go ahead, got to show up like that, an old drunk. Amen. Glad I'm saved.
Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? Brother Rodney.
I want to thank all of you for praying for me. Thank you, Brother Rodney. Thinking of me. And this has been an ordeal that I've never been through, and I hope nobody else has to, but I know it will.
Yeah.
It's just that I was always faster than what I can go now.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that as long as it's been, I would be better shape than I am, but I'm not. It takes a long time.
Bless my brother.
And I want to thank all of you for.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Miss Jenny.
I'd like
to thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
He's blessed us so much.
Amen.
And I
thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Brother Rob.
I thank the Lord, Brother, for saving my soul. Thank
him
for his blessings.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. Sister Mary.
Bless her heart.
I just want to make this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to forget what I'm saying tonight.
Yes.
A better year.
Amen.
Yeah.
And bless your sister.
And I want to love everybody here so much.
Bless my sister.
Bless her heart. Amen. Bless your heart.
Been a good trooper.
Amen.
And I'm just so glad that faith are me well, I feel.
Bless the Lord.
And please keep praying for the people that I pray for.
Amen.
That are lost.
Bless you.
Gary for one. And I know my sister said that she's looking for something. I pray that she will be getting something.
Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. Bless her.
Thank you, God. Thank you, people, and thank you for my salvation.
Bless the Lord. Bless
you. All right, somebody else tonight. Right.
I'd like to add some more to what I just said. I left the main important thing out of it, Jesus, for watching over me. When I went there, I was just in peace of mind. I didn't worry about a thing.
That's right, brother.
That's right.
And I came through it okay, and
Hallelujah.
It was in his hands.
That's right.
I'm first even thanking for it.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. There with you.
Amen. Somebody else.
Greg. Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord saved me. First of all, I'd like to say everything I've got is his anyway.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
You know, everything before a cattle.
Yeah.
A lot of people make fun of me when I say I pray for my cattle.
Bless his heart.
But you know what helps? There he is. You know,
yeah, sure.
That's what I told
that's
the baby.
That's blessing.
You know, I said, there he is. I'm just a
keeper
of
them. Yeah.
Amen.
Today we got on that airplane coming out of Houston. It's doing bad. I said, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm yours. I'm
that's right, brother. That's right.
You know, if we go down.
Amen.
Either way, I'm ready to go.
Amen, brother. I'm just thinking
the peace that he can give you. Yeah.
Where's the Lord, brother? Amen.
I believe the Bible says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing,
yes,
but in everything.
Everything. Yep.
That probably covers that.
Yeah.
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 Everything. Everything.
Yeah.
I think everything in the Greek means everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else? Brother Rock.
I want to praise God.
Amen, amen, brother.
Let's go. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else tonight?
There's things that happened this year that I
don't
understand.
Mm-hmm.
And without God, I don't know how we would go.
Amen.
So hard. I know Elvis used to sing it. Without him, so happy and so tired. Without him,
yes,
how
amen.
Lost that be.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't understand what other people went through.
Bless your Lord.
I don't think you're ever the same when something like that happens.
Amen. Amen.
So I just want to thank you for all of his blessings and for carrying us through that and for whatever the next year holds.
Amen.
Even if I never know what it was, if his purpose was accomplished through it, then that's
all. Amen. Amen.